Welcome to Ag Matters, covering the positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit of the Alaska Farmland Trust.
Well, good morning and welcome to another edition of Ag Matters Radio. This is Amy Pettit and I'm in the studio this morning. I've got a guest that will be calling any minute now. And just a quick housekeeping before Heidi calls in, I want to remind listeners that it's time to pick, click, and give. It's that time of year when folks are signing up for their permanent fund dividend. And our Alaska Farmland Trust is supported through those pick, click, give dollars. Last year, we had two organizations that matched our pick, click, give dollars. Boy, I'm having a hard time this morning. So I just want to remind folks that if you're so inclined to look for Alaska Farmland Trust on pick, click, give, and I think I've got my guest online now. Heidi, are you there?
I'm here. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning. Thanks so much for joining me on Ag Matters Radio this morning.
My pleasure.
Yeah, so Heidi Che wears many hats down on the Kenai Peninsula. And Heidi, I love to start by letting my guests do a little intro of themselves about their connection to Alaska, how you got here, and what you do in the agriculture industry.
Right. Well, I met an Alaska fisherman back in the 80s when we were both going to college on the East Coast. And at that time, Alaska seemed like the most remote, wonderful place I could never go. And okay. Somehow I got myself here as a Bristol Bay fisherman in that summer with him fishing.
Okay.
And we kept coming back for years. And then we had a couple of kids and decided to move back here full time. And that was in the 90s. And done a lot of various kinds of work, but I really delved into agriculture starting in 2011. When I started working for Kenai Soil and Water Conservation District.
Yeah, and so that's the hat that you're wearing today as we're going to chat. You are, what is your title there at the Kenai Soil and Water?
I'm the district manager and basically the sole employee. And I also, we have an active local food group, grassroots group called Kenai Local Food Connection. Those are the big local food things I'm doing now.
Yeah. Very active local food group. So what is driving all of that local food movement down out there on the Kenai?
Oh, I think it's the snowball effect. We've had, you know, we have the highest concentration of high tunnels there anywhere in the country down there in Homer.
Yeah.
And really, I think that's what kicked off agriculture here on the Kenai Peninsula. We didn't have the Matsu Valley history of large-scale agriculture, but we did have the high tunnels come in with force starting in 2010 and 2011. And it's not just Homer. We've got, you know, we've got quite a few of them here in the Central Peninsula area as well. So that got people extending their seasons and got people who were gardening excited to scale up to become market farmers.
Right.
And so what's really emerging here is an exciting dynamic group of very intensive small-scale farmers that are beginning to sell to restaurants and create things like the online food hub and all of that sort of thing.
Yeah. So for listeners that might not know, Heidi, what is a high tunnel? How does it compare to a greenhouse?
Yes. High tunnels, also called hoop house, metal structures generally covered with plastic, and generally you're planting right in the ground. That's the main distinction. You're covering the ground. Often, there's a possibility of using that covered structure and moving it from one piece of ground to the next during the course of the season. So I see some of our farmers using what they'll call not high tunnels but medium tunnels to do that are more movable.
Okay. And NRCS is, so that's the Natural Resource Conservation Service, their high tunnel grant program, is that still in existence? Can folks still access that program?
Yes. They're evaluating applications right now for 2018. So if one were going to apply, and they're at great pains to let people know it's not a grant program, it's a cost share program. But
right.
It's always been a very generous cost share program and has assisted a lot of people getting these structures on their property. So yes, the cost share program continues, and if somebody's interested, they need to plan ahead. There's a fair amount of paperwork involved, and they now are very clear, NRCS is very clear that these structures go on land that's already being used for agricultural purposes.
Okay. So if I if I'm interested in finding out more, is there an easy website you can tell us about, or should I just Google Alaska NRCS High Tunnel Program?
I would Google NRCS Alaska and then contact your local NRCS office, which is going to be in Homer or Kenai or Palmer or Fairbanks.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. So, yeah, so hundreds and hundreds of these high tunnels have gone up down there on the peninsula. And as you mentioned, that's really been a momentum builder for small-scale vegetable production on the peninsula, which has led to a lot of cool things, namely the Kenai, this Kenai Local Foods group that you are kind of leading the charge with, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so you have a fun, well, I'm thrilled with all the things that you have going on down there, but let's start by talking about farmers and chefs.
Farmers and chefs. That is
two of my favorite groups of people.
right. So we had a little working group together a year and a half ago, getting ready to do a Central Peninsula Fresh Produce Market Study. And to that working group, we invited farmers, and we invited one of our favorite restaurant owners, Megan Schaffsma at Odie's in Soldotna, who we knew was already local food friendly. And we were lining things out for the surveys to do the market study, and it was Megan's idea. I have to credit her for, we need to start having these face-to-face get-togethers right now. This is what the restaurant people want. We don't want to wait for a market study.
Right.
Let's just have a gathering, and let's do it 2 weeks from now at my restaurant, and that has become a series now. We had three gatherings last winter. We had one in November. We have another one coming up on January 23rd. And each one has a different theme, a short presentation. But really, the main gist of it is a networking event and allowing people who grow stuff and want to grow stuff to talk with the restaurants who are buying local food or want to buy local food. And it's not just produce. We've had people come in with fish broth and fish, and somebody contacted me that they're making sea salt here in the area.
Oh, wow.
Et cetera. So it's expanding.
Yeah. So how many restaurants would you say have participated in these gatherings?
I think we're up to about 10 different restaurants and catering services that have participated, expressed interest, shown up.
That's outstanding.
They tend to be outnumbered by the interested farmers.
Yeah. Well, that was going to be my next question. And how many farmers have been in the room?
About double that.
Okay. Well, that's good. That's
at various times.
You've got to start somewhere. And this is it's a great point that talking about it this time of year, when the farmers are making their plans for what they're going to grow and in what cycles, et cetera, is the best time of year to be talking to the restaurants about what they want and in what quantities, et cetera.
Exactly. So the theme of this January gathering will be menu and crop planning in 2018. And boy, when we see chefs excited to realize that they can actually ask for a special ingredient to be grown, it's all very experimental right now, but that's possible.
Yeah. Isn't that fun? I was in a meeting with a restaurant owner in Anchorage. It's been a couple months ago, and he started kind of rattling off a couple of products that he'd really like to have, products that I wasn't sure were available in Alaska, but then I sat down with a farmer and said, hey, have you ever heard of this? And he said, oh, yeah, I can grow that. And it was like, oh, yay. It's an exciting thing when we can make those connections. And it's always been, in my former life at the Division of Ag, trying to get more restaurants to source local was a constant challenge of mine. And it's really fun to see the momentum that is happening right now in the industry.
And I think we've got a community of internet-worked young restaurateurs here who are driving that quite a bit.
Absolutely. And it's just, I would say, a national trend that's finally kind of made its way up here, and people are recognizing the value and that the customers are interested.
Right.
I love the phrase that you said earlier. You said local food friendly, and that automatically I could see like a certification program, like a sticker in the window, local food friendly, right?
Right. Well, there is a new version. A Division of Agriculture has a new version of the Restaurant Rewards Program, Amy.
Right. Yeah.
So they're I think they're calling it the restaurant recognition program, trying to give restaurants who buy local some extra statewide advertising for their efforts.
Yeah, which is a great thing. Because again, I think Alaskans do care. They want to support businesses that support local. But, you know, we're also a tourism-tied state. 2 million visitors came last year, I think. And I think those folks appreciate eating local food when they're here, right?
Oh, absolutely, which is why I'm in this spring trying to put together a networking event for farmers and all the tourism businesses that we have here on the Central Peninsula.
Oh, there you go.
And then that will lead into summer events. For years, we've done Chef at the Market events.
Right.
Also with assistance from Division of Ag at the beginning that allowed us to get the equipment so that we have the kit that's ready to go from farmer's market to farmer's market, the mobile kitchen. And now with farmers and chefs going so well, we're going to recruit some of those chefs to be giving rather higher-end cooking demonstrations during the farmers markets during the summer.
I love it. Sounds great. Well, a reminder to listeners that this is Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and joining me this morning is Heidi Che, who's the district manager of the Kenai Soil and Water Conservation District down on the Kenai Peninsula. So, Heidi, let's move right into the Kenai Peninsula Food Hub. You kind of casually mentioned that's another thing that has developed as a result of all these additional growers down on the peninsula. I had, I had Robbie on the show, but it's been a long time ago, and we talked about quite a few different things, including the Food Hub. So tell us again, what is the Kenai Peninsula Food Hub?
The Food Hub is an online farmers market. It started in 2016. It's under the auspices of Cook Inlet Keeper that got a large USDA Farmers Market Promotion Program grant to do a pilot phase of this online farmers market. And it is doing very well now after 2 years, and Cook Inlet Keeper has decided to keep it under its wing another year, and the idea is for it to become independent. So producers sign up, they pay a small membership fee, they create their own profile page on the website and list their products, and customers pay a small membership fee and can shop all of those farmers. You order whatever you want, you supply your credit card as a customer, and then on the weekly pickup day, you go pick up your order, and then your credit card is charged afterwards based on what you actually picked up. And so what customers love about it is it's quick and easy. They buy local. They don't have to wander around the farmer's market and shop from each vendor. They can do it all in one-stop shopping. And then what vendors seem to like about it is it's reaching a whole new segment of customers who might not necessarily go to the farmer's market but like to shop online with their credit card.
Yeah, which has been another growing trend nationally. With these food boxes and CSA boxes and delivery right to your door of food kits, et cetera. So you said 2018 will be the third year of the Kenai Peninsula Food Hub. Is that right?
That's what I meant.
Yeah.
If I got that wrong. So we saw basically a doubling of the number of customers registered this last year to nearly 1,000.
Wow.
A doubling of sales and exciting thing. So now the pickup locations started first year in Homer and Soldotna and Seldovia, and this year added on Anchorage toward the end of the year.
Right.
So I would expect Anchorage to scale up quite a bit next year. So there are 41 vendors signed up at present.
Okay, 41 different farmers, fishermen, value-added products. There's quite a variety of products available on that online food hub, correct?
Quite a variety. So at last count, there were 4 seafood vendors, about 5 crafters, and most of the rest, eggs, produce, and poultry.
I love it. And so to help paint the picture, one of the benefits I've heard from producers is that, you know, when you go to the farmer's market every week, you go out and you harvest on Friday and you take what you have to market on Saturday, and it either sells or it doesn't sell. One of the benefits of the online food hub is that you can predict what you have to harvest, put that into the food hub as available. But then if, say, there's just nobody wants radishes during week 2, you don't have to harvest the radishes and take them and have them sit, right? You can leave them in the ground for another week or go solicit a different outlet for them. But there's perhaps less waste with this format, correct?
There's definitely less waste. Yeah. And related to that is the food hub is suitable for very small scale producers.
Right.
For somebody who's just getting into market sales, and you're not producing an acre of kale, you're producing a 300-foot row of kale or snow peas or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
And so it's very scalable to what you actually have to offer.
Right.
From week to week, which changes from week to week.
Absolutely. And one of the other challenges to going to farmer's market is you can be sitting at your farmer's market booth for 7-8 hours, add in the drive to and from, setup time, et cetera. But with the food hub option, you harvest, you take your product to the drop-off site, and you're done, right? You don't have to sit for 8 hours when you may or may not have sales.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, there's that. But I would say some of our vendors very much like to do both.
Sure, absolutely.
And, farmers markets, I hope, will continue to be a thriving venue for local food sales and local craft sales for a long time to come. In the heart of Soldotna, we've developed a market there that's quite an attractor.
Yeah.
And what the food hub can do is, as I said before, help that direct market farmer reach new customers in addition. And some don't really like to sit at the farmer's market, so maybe this is an out. But I'm seeing people do both.
Yeah, absolutely. And it might be a progression. Perhaps you start with the food hub because you only have that 300-foot row of one product, and then next year you scale up and you have enough product to also go to the farmer's market. And then maybe eventually you're in a grocery store and you're the commercial sales and wholesale sales. Heidi, do we have any restaurants utilizing the food hub to access local food?
We haven't cracked that nut yet because we haven't developed a delivery service. And when I say we, my role in the food hub, I'm just a member of the advisory council by virtue of my role at Kenai Soil and Water Conservation District.
Okay.
So there hasn't been a delivery service yet. I think if that were added on, it might. There is a discount for large buyers. If you're buying more than $100 worth of product, you get a significant discount. That was an attempt to attract the restaurant buyers. So
okay.
It could happen. It's not quite there yet.
Yeah. Any flowers on the food hub?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Beautiful flower bouquets coming up from Homer,
okay,
from Alaska. What's Rachel's flower business?
Oh, Alaska Stems?
Alaska Stems, right.
Perfect.
No. So another, yes, we had quite a few flower bouquets sold in Homer and also coming up to Soldotna.
Very good.
And by the way, we've been focused on local food. You asked me what's been driving Kenai Peninsula agriculture, and I would be remiss if I didn't mention that we have a third of the peony farms.
You do.
Peony production in the state. So that's a big part of what's going on here, plus a lot of rhodiola in the ground.
Oh, absolutely. That's a show that I don't know if we have. I covered rhodiola? I feel like it's been on my list of topics, but I don't think I've had a rhodiola guest yet.
Talk with me later. I can point you in the direction.
Yeah, I have to get that back on the schedule. Actually, Rachel Christie, a peony producer here in the Valley, is my guest next week, and we'll be talking about Alaska peonies and the upcoming Alaska Peony Growers Association meeting. So
great.
Yeah.
What I heard from our growers here last summer is that they sold out and everybody's calling. They've got buyers and everybody's calling around trying to find out who's got peonies to fill the need of this distant buyer, because of course most of our peonies get exported.
Yeah. Yep, that's been an incredibly fun project to watch, and you're right. A lot of peony production down there on the peninsula, and a lot of new farmers who have started their agricultural career in that world. So that is another exciting segment to watch. So one more reminder that this is Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and joining me this morning is Heidi Che of the Kenai Soil and Water Conservation District down on the peninsula. So Heidi, another exciting thing that's happening there down on the peninsula, I've heard little stories and I've actually seen this thing, is the veggie bus. What is the veggie bus?
The veggie bus. Well, one of our more successful market farmers down here, Jeff Babbitt, is the brainchild behind the driver of the veggie bus. He purchased a school bus. He painted it green, and he has the area's first mobile farmers market. And what that means is that we have the first mobile winter farmers market, and he intends to go clear through the winter.
Okay.
And he's based in Kisilov. He takes that bus one day a week into the heart of Soldotna, one day over to Seward, one day down to Homer, and he's been taking the bus on the ferry across to Seldovia. In fact, Little Seldovia, their grocery store shuts down for 2 or 3 weeks in the middle of the winter every year.
Oh.
And can you imagine how glad they were to see Jeff show up with his bus full of fresh vegetables and meat and eggs, and he also threw some Alaska baked bread on there.
Oh, very good.
Yeah. So it's a fun place to shop. He's got it all decorated with twinkle lights. He's got heat in there, obviously, to keep his root vegetables from freezing. And he says, I went to visit with him last week, and he says it's quite a social event. The people who come visit him at during the winter market often have, it's just more fun to shop with the farmer rather than the grocery store. So
absolutely. So is Jeff growing all of the products that he's got for sale on the bus, or is he sourcing from multiple farmers?
He is aggregating. So
okay.
He had Alaska barley on the bus. He has root vegetables grown at his own place and in the valley.
Okay. I was going to say, I thought I saw that bus up this way, so I wondered if maybe he was sourcing from one of our larger commercial growers.
I think so.
Yeah.
Variety of things.
Yeah. Well, that's great. You know, I think that that's the beauty of this industry, particularly in Alaska, is that there's room for everyone and there's room for these kinds of ideas and things that you think, man, I just think there's a need for this, and there's a need for so much. So it's exciting that Jeff has tapped into that and is providing another resource to folks. And I love that he's taking it over to Seldovia. That's just great.
Yeah.
So how do folks, if they want to find out where he is or where he's going to be, how do they find out more about the Veggie Bus?
Yes, Facebook,
okay.
Jeff Babbitt. He really ought to have a Veggie Bus Facebook page, but right now we look up his name, Jeff Babbitt, and we can say in the Soldotna area, it's in front of Trustworthy Hardware every Thursday, 11 to 6 p.m.
Okay.
And he's got he's got cabbages and every kind of root vegetable and lots of eggs, et cetera, et cetera.
Very good.
And I would say, Amy, we're also seeing this is the first winter down here. I don't know what it's like up in Palmer, but this is the first winter that we're seeing locally grown root vegetables available midwinter at our small retail stores. So we have several of these small stores that have popped up, like Maggie's in Kenai is a little old-fashioned style, like country-style general store.
Oh, okay.
And you can get all sorts of health food there, and they've got the wall of candy like you would find in a general store, but you can also get fresh produce, and now for the first time Maggie's is sourcing local root vegetables there.
Oh, that's
and
great.
And Kenai Feed has been around for years, but now we've got a local farm that produced so many local carrots. They have had a continual supply of local carrots at Kenai Feed, another small retailer, and then in Soldotna there's another store, Lucy's Market, next to the bookstore in Soldotna, River City Books. They're also carrying local. So the season is extending here, which is exciting for us.
Absolutely. That's great news. Again, lots of opportunity to get your hands on local food down there on the peninsula. So, Heidi, our time is, it goes by so quick, and we just have a couple of minutes left. And I know that you wanted to mention the Borough Comprehensive Plan down there on the Kenai Peninsula. So let's kind of wrap up with that. What is going on with agricultural lands and the Borough Comprehensive Plan down there?
Well, we're in the quickly. The borough has a draft version of this plan out now. The last version was in 2004. It had two paragraphs on agriculture. Mm-hmm. This draft plan has 12 pages. It has goals that say we need to evaluate and identify and protect ag land for the future, and this is how we're going to do it, and really recognizes that agriculture is a growth industry here on the peninsula. So that's exciting. We don't know how the plan will turn out, but the draft looks encouraging.
Yeah. You know, this it's timely that you mentioned this. Just last night when the Division of Agriculture hosted their livestock industry meeting, one of the comments was access to land, and that particularly here in the Mat-Su Borough, it's difficult to get access to land. And they specifically mentioned how during the comprehensive plan draft stage, if no one targets lands as agriculturally viable, if they get designated as recreation land, so to speak, it's very difficult to go back later and get them switched to an agricultural preference or I don't know what the tag is. But anyway, so I'm glad to hear that the Kenai Peninsula has recognized that value of agricultural land, and I would encourage folks to get involved in that process, right?
Yeah, now is the time, public comment through March, then we'll probably have another draft, and it's the kind of plan that will have repercussions for years to come. So it's important for people to be involved, whatever their interest is in borough government.
Absolutely. And Heidi, is there an easy way for folks to find that? Is that something that's linked on your website, or can you point folks in the right direction if they get in touch with you? What's the best measure there?
Right. KPBcompplan.org.
Oh, they've got it out there for everybody to see.
Yeah, they've done good outreach.
That's very good. So KPBcompplan.org if folks want to get involved and provide public comments about the potential for agricultural lands identified in that comprehensive plan.
Mm-hmm. And my website is KenaiSoilAndWater.org, and people are always welcome to contact me directly.
Absolutely. You're one of my favorite agricultural champions across the state. I always like to, if someone calls me from the Kenai Peninsula and they say, oh, I'm interested in this down on the Kenai, or I want to do this, I say, oh, well, you should call Heidi. It's so great to have you as a resource.
We're going to see you soon. You haven't mentioned our events coming up this week.
We have not even mentioned that later this week we will be down on the peninsula all day Saturday for an all-day workshop about profitability in your on-farm business. And then Saturday evening we'll be at Froso's for a Alaska Farmland Trust friendraiser.
We're really looking forward to seeing you.
Yeah, yeah. So if folks are interested in joining us down there on the peninsula, there's a couple of Facebook events, and they can also find more information about the workshop and the friendraiser on our website, akfarmland.com.
Great.
Yeah. So Heidi, thank you so much for joining me this morning on Ag Matters Radio. It's been a pleasure to learn more about all the exciting activities going on in the local food movement on the peninsula.
Well, thank you for having me.
All right. Have a great day, Heidi.
You too. Bye now.
You've been listening to Ag Matters, covering positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit, of the Alaska Farmland Trust. Ag Matters is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. For more information about this program, email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.